Welcome to the Activation Podcast, brought to you by the Conscious Resistance Network. I'm your host, Derek Brose. With every episode of the Activation, we'll explore solutions in the areas of health, permaculture, decentralized technology, spirituality, and hidden truths. The Activation Podcast is focused on providing cutting-edge solutions to empower humanity. Hey everyone, this is Derek Brose with the Conscious Resistance Network and the Activation Podcast. And today I'm excited for this conversation because, well, if you followed my work over the years, you know that the big part of my message is the need for spiritual healing, internal healing, trauma healing, and just how instrumental that is to healing the world and fixing a lot of the problems that we sometimes focus on in the physical realm. And for those of you who've actually read my book series, The Conscious Resistance Trilogy, you've seen that I've written some work on the, you know, inner child and the need to connect to that inner child. You know, in our best case scenario, the inner child is your joy, it's your creativity, your intuition. But sometimes we need to connect to that inner child to get the healing work done and reconnect to that. For me, it was reconnecting back to my seven-year-old self and doing some healing work from there. And my guest today just does so much in the area of mentoring teens, but helping parents and families, and has been doing this work for a number of years. And I've been really blessed to get connected to her in the last couple of years. And she will be returning as a speaker for the Greater Reset coming up next month in Morelia, Mexico. You can find that at thegreaterreset.org. So with all that said, please welcome Lainey Liberty to the Activation Podcast. How are you doing, Lainey?
Hey, Derek. I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, thanks for the invitation.
Yeah, it's been a while that we've been connecting and, you know, spending some time in person. So I figured it's about time we had a digital conversation and share all the great things you're doing with my audience. And why don't we just start there and give you a minute before we get into your work and your book and the other great things you're doing. Maybe you could share a little bit about your, you know, whatever you want to share on your personal path and particularly what led you to focusing your energy on this kind of work.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, most people know me in the world schooling world. And in fact, world schooling is one of those movements that my son and I actually helped to launch. And we're often credited with spearheading that. And it is adjacent to unschooling. However, it's using travel as part of the area, the arena to learn. And so I've been very active and outspoken about that. My son and I did a TEDx talk. I raised my son nomadically. We left the United States when he was 9 years old, just going, turning to 10. And I started blogging, and that really kind of launched this whole movement. People started following us, and we started to speak, and we started to share. But actually, that's not what I'm going to talk about today. But most people do know me from that. We're on 16 years since we left the United States. And living nomadically and raising my son outside of school has really brought this whole new sort of realm of connection, independence, and also using the outer worlds, the travel, the immersive learning experiences, really as a way of processing and giving vocabulary to the inner worlds. And the inner worlds, this was a journey I started, you know, exploring probably in my 20s as somebody who grew up with a lot of trauma in my household. A lot of my trauma response came from my earlier years, and I had to learn a lot about having a not secure attachment style. Actually, my personal attachment style was disorganized, which kind of put me in many directions in terms of connecting with other human beings. Also, one of my trauma responses from my childhood was hyper-independence, which really drove me into this intrinsic motivation to learn. You know, nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm going to learn it myself. And then later in my life, actually being diagnosed with ODD, which probably fuels the childhood rebellion and my, you know, self-described anarchy and anarchism. And here in my 50s, continuing to really come to terms with the me that I bring to the world. And a lot of that came through my parenting. So my parenting really became my spiritual practice, my mental health, emotional practice, and the vehicle for me to grow. So as a strong self-directed learner, the world was open to me. So I dove down deep into the world of psychology. I dove down deep into the world of connection, spirituality, parenting. And I also learned everything I could about the adolescent brain. And that's because my son was just actually moving into his adolescence as we started to travel. So I'll leave it there. There's a lot to talk about. And
Let's get into, I want to show some of the websites here real quick that you have, because you've got, you know, several websites, and you mentioned World Schooling, and that is partially how I got to know your work. And then, of course, you invited me and Miriam to come speak at your annual event, which was really great. The website we're looking at, projectworldschool.com, and you mentioned your son. There's a photo of him right there for those who are watching on screen. And I do encourage people who are interested, like you said, this isn't going to be our whole focus today, but we can spend a couple minutes here. I do want to encourage anybody in the audience who is unfamiliar with the term world schooling to check out Lainey's website. And as you said, it ties into the kind of broader unschooling movement. Could you, maybe for those who aren't even familiar with that term, unschooling, maybe in your own views, what do you think would be the difference between, first of all, a traditional, quote unquote, traditional public education upbringing versus an unschooling education, and how that contrasts? I think you kind of outlined world schooling adds the nomadic, the traveling aspect to it, but could you draw some distinctions between those terms?
Sure. Well, standard education is being sort of dictated by somebody outside of yourself within an authoritarian paradigm. And generally, we look at that institutional learning as schools. Schools are what I really refer to as a form of indoctrination. You're not choosing what to learn as the learner. And in fact, you're being pulled down a path based on the intent of somebody else or an institution. There's a lot more I can say about that, but I think if people are watching your podcast, they know that this is really not something that's in alignment with most free-thinking, freedom-minded people. Now, unschooling is a term that was coined by John Holt in the, I think, 70s. And he referred to living outside of school or living without school as if school did not exist. And those of you that are my age or older will remember the 7-Up commercials from the early 70s, and it was branded as the Uncola. So he took that sort of, you know, meme, which was a cultural meme at the time through advertising, and used the term instead of Uncola, unschooling. And in essence, what it means is to live as if school doesn't exist. So that's what you're not doing. What you are doing is allowing the learner to self-direct based on interest and based on discovery and play, whatever it is that they wish to learn. Now, the role of the parent in the unschooling movement is really to facilitate that kind of learning. And I took that very, very seriously. Facilitation, in my mind, is really a form of partnership. And when we started to apply unschooling to our journey which included travel, we really approach this from a partnership perspective. But me being the anarchist or the person with ODD, I didn't like the term unschooling because it was saying really what we were not doing. And in fact, we were using the world as this incredible immersive landscape to inspire us. And not only was it inspiring my son, but we were learning together. So it was truly multi-age learning. It was learning without, I don't want to say restrictions, but without a structure, if you will. And so we could be sitting in Guatemala looking at, you know, a site built, and my son would see the architecture and I would see the cultural application. So we're applying our lenses to create the richest learning, and then we're sharing it. So the social aspect, or the social learning and the multi-age aspect, was really the most powerful learning that we could do. We were learning in context, and that was the gift that the world was giving us. You know, I've spoken with so many parents over the past 16 years, and there are parents that don't travel that still apply world schooling as a philosophy to their child's and family's learning. So it's not just travel, but travel can be a big part of it. Now, we brought in the lifestyle as well. So we did live nomadically for 13 years up until the pandemic. And now I'm talking to you here from Mexico. But that's a slight distinction. And I hope that sits well with your audience. Yeah.
I think you said so many important things there. For one, like you said, kind of the idea that world schooling, yes, it can be involved being nomadic and travel, but also it's just more about kind of a mindset and the way you allow yourself and the family and the child to learn. I think that's really beautiful. And then I've noticed that since I've got to know your work and then just learn more about unschooling over the last 7 or 8 years or so, as you said, like there's a lot of intersection here with the sort of anarchist voluntarist movement, because those who reject government and violence and coercion in those areas tend to recognize, hey, there's violence and coercion in the education system. And so we start to explore what are alternative ways, alternative to educate and raise children. You get into unschooling, world schooling. And I've even come across in our travels, we've come across some forest schools or nature schools, which I think are really interesting too. So it's just cool to see these different alternative paths coming out for those who are seeking something. And there was one thing you mentioned that I'd like you to maybe dig in a little further on. You mentioned it seemed like you were searching for the right words, but like education without structure. Now, I think I understand what you're communicating with that, but I think some parents will hear that, whether right or wrong, and say, oh, well, that wouldn't work for my kid because my kid needs structure. He needs to have some level of, I guess, rigidity, or however you want to think about it. But could you speak on that? Like, if you come across any experiences like that, where a parent believes that their child won't, benefit from this, and then maybe they learn that that's not true.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge part of what we're talking about here. The belief system, especially from us parents, we are bombarded with cultural norms. And the belief that structure is mandatory to learning just isn't so. What you need to do, there's a whole branch or a whole philosophy within the unschooling world called deschooling. And it's really about unpacking these belief systems and finding where they came from, if they are in alignment with what your true heart believes in terms of being able to learn, and whether or not there, if you've built a whole philosophy of what learning is all about onto this foundational belief that's not even yours. This is the deschooling process. And a lot of times when I work with parents to help them to go down the direction of the deschooling path, or, you know, in the anarchist world, deprogramming, you know, we need to be able to have the safety within self to be able to uncover this stuff and really let go of these belief systems that are not in alignment with our human nature. Freedom, I believe, is part of our human nature. And we feel the resistance when there is a thought or belief that is really filtering through everything that we do. Now, granted, each child is different, and that's part of the reason why I argue against traditional education. Because they're taught, you know, a one-size-fits-all kind of educational scheme. And look, we're not all meant to do the same things in the world. Why should we have the same foundational education? It just doesn't make sense. So yes, some children do require structure, but I tend to call that scaffolding. So how do we construct a scaffolding or a framework that works for your family culture? Well, we do that first by identifying what the needs and interests are of each family member. Then we talk about, and I hate this word, expectations. Okay, expectations are one of those relationship killers, but let's take it out of the context for just a moment. Expectations kind of sit somewhere where I put rules, and rules are one of those things that tend to be arbitrary, especially in a child's mind. If we are putting a quote unquote rule on a child that they must study for X amount of hours per day, then those X amount of hours, which came from our mind, from our head, from this arbitrary belief based on this foundational belief that we have, then what we're doing is we're setting up our children to live in an authority that is outside of themselves. Again, it's very similar to this, the kind of structure that institutional learning offers. So a rule must be written. A rule must be enforced. A rule must be punished. And as parents, even a lot of us in the freedom community, we tend to kind of soften the idea of rules and we turn them into internal expectations. And that's the area where I think they're connected. And both of those things set your child up not to fail and not to experience the beauty of failure. And let me say that again. Failure is one of those human conditions that we must create safe spaces for in our families so our children can then use those experiences to find their intrinsic motivation, to develop things like grit and perseverance, and to really define what's important to them. Once they have the freedom to explore that, then the world is open. The world is open to learn whatever the hell they want to learn. And that really becomes a beautiful, you know, format for learning, intrinsically motivated learning, the belief system that I can learn whatever I want to learn, and taking the power away from the institution and putting it back into the human spirit. Now, we can do that as parents in partnership, and that's the only way that we can facilitate this. So not only am I talking about removing the authoritarian paradigms in your own families, we're talking about de-schooling and decomposing these belief systems that should never be in family systems, but really that should, you know, create an arena of freedom and exploration and safety in our families.
Very beautifully said. Thank you, Lani, for spending some time kind of going a little deeper with that. I know there'll be folks in the audience who these ideas are new to, others who are very familiar with that. And I encourage everybody who does want to learn more to look at Lani's websites. Of course, all these links will be included in the show notes. I do want to go into some other aspect of your work. I mean, you're doing so much. You've got a couple websites. We got the World Schooling Project, worldschool.com. You've also got Transformative Mentoring for Teens. And we're going to talk about your book for a moment. But maybe you could just speak about that aspect of how, you know, not only doing the world schooling, de-schooling work and helping more parents and families understand that, but specifically trying to mentor teenagers and doing that really important work.
Sure. Let me first talk a little bit about the book, and then I'm going to go into the work that I do on transformative mentoring for teens. So as I mentioned, as a very motivated learner myself, I do consider myself an autodidactic. I have researched and written a really thorough book for parents, and it's called Seen, Heard, and Understood: Parenting and Partnering with Teens for Greater Mental Health. Now, there are chapters about partnership parenting. There are chapters about, you know, understanding as you are parenting a teen or an adolescent or a tween, what the biological effects of the, you know, the chemical effects of the brain and the developmental stages that teens go through. It's a very deeply well-researched book. The book itself has a lot of science, it has a lot of psychology, it has a lot of very well-respected theories and so forth, based on years and years and years of other people's research, as well as my own research. All of the research is cited, and the book is endorsed by all kinds of PhDs, MDs, even some very well-known doctors have, given their accolades for the book, and I'm really grateful for that. I'm not going to name drop here, but pick up the book and you'll see. The great thing about the book is that it's written in such a way that any parent can understand, because it's coming through my voice. And I also include so many very, very personal stories about the things that I overcame in terms of the my childhood and the abuse and some of those stories, which put into context how these things affect the brain and affect development and affect relationships. And by using these stories as a way of reflecting, it allows the reader to say, oh yeah, I remember, you know, a time in my life when this happened, and so forth. Also, it's an invitation to parents to look at the responses that they have to their children as they're growing up. Because let me tell you, as a parent, and if you are a parent and you're watching this, you know that your child has the ability to take a really salty finger and press it onto your wounds, any wounds that have not been healed. So if you didn't feel seen or heard or understood as a child or a teen, they're going to create scenarios that those wounds get activated as well. And what you're responding to is really your inner child speaking out as pattern belief systems in your own mind that are then going to affect your parenting. Now, in order to parent in partnership, you've got to have the awareness of your own internal worlds. And that's a lifetime process. It really, really is. But if you are a parent, you know that the triggers that come up are, you know, they're numerous. They're numerous, especially if you haven't done the internal work. So it's really a book of self-therapy for parents. However, it's a way of helping you to understand not only the psychology and the neurobiology and the chemistry of your growing human being that you're entrusted with. It allows you to recognize how human we all are. In addition, the book has chapters worth of tools that I use. And for me, again, I talked about scaffolding. I need to know, you know, in my own personal journey, what my own scaffolding is, what my own framework is. And when I've got a trigger or an inner child, you know, acting up inside of me, my young Lainey that wasn't seen, heard, or understood, I've got to have tools to be able to process that and communicate with that. And that's what this book includes. It's a whole chapter of tools. The tools are primarily written for the child, for the teen. But the request is that you, as the parent, go through the tools and use them on yourself, and then approach your teen, your child, and co-facilitate by connecting through spaces of vulnerability and let them know what you're processing. And that creates greater connection in our households. And I do know, Derek, that you talk a lot about healing the generations for the seven generations in front of us. And also, I know that includes the past generations. If we're going to stop our patterns of childhood trauma or generational trauma throughout time, it stops with us. And it stops with us through the authentic exploration of self. Parenting has really become my spiritual practice, and it can become yours too. Now, that being said, I want to tell you a little bit about the work I do with teens, unless, Derek, you wanted to jump in first, because that was a big mouthful.
Well, let me just say a couple of things briefly. I will just second everybody checking out the book. I'm grateful enough to have it in my library and to have got to read it. And I highly recommend it. I think the work is so important. It's a very crucial aspect. And I guess the only question I had before we move on to some of the other work was, and you sort of answered this, but if a parent is new again to some of the ideas of unschooling, deschooling, world schooling, would this still be a book for them, or is this somebody a book that maybe people need to come in with a little bit of knowledge already?
No, this book is not about the education per se, but in the very beginning, I do explain that I use the framework of self-directed learning or unschooling or world schooling, if you will, as the framework to explain certain concepts. So it's a wonderful way of understanding self as you move into unschooling or that world. And I will say that the beauty between unschooling and deschooling is that it's totally in alignment with what I call partnership parenting. You can't unschool and be in an authoritarian paradigm. You just can't do it. Go learn now. I mean, it just doesn't work, right? So understanding when those things come up within yourself is your work as the parent, and especially my generation, your generation too, Derek, our generation, but the next generation that's coming in, if they are raised in a family, a household, and even a community like this, they're not going to have to heal those generational wounds.
Sure, I agree. I definitely think that the more work that is done in this area, then the less people have to spend time. We hear this a lot in our broader freedom communities. I hear it at the Greater Reset that people say they have to unlearn things that they spent the first 30, 40, 50 years of their life doing. So if we take on these kind of practices, there'll be less people having to spend time in their life unlearning things. And instead, we can just start out, you know, from a better solid ground. But yeah, please do elaborate. Let's hear more about the mentoring aspect of your work.
Sure. So as I mentioned, my son and I lived nomadically for, you know, 13 years, which was 16 years ago. And as he hit adolescence, he really had some deep desires for creating community. And even though we were living high in the Andes in Peru at the time, and he loved our lifestyle, all of this stuff started to come up for him. And we talked and we talked and we talked, and really discovering and pulling out what his needs were, it really came down to a few things. Number one, he needed community. Number two, he really needed to have social, and that's connected to community, but social aspect, which went into his learning. And number three, he really desired to create in a way that was meaningful. And those are powerful desires, right? Living high in the Andes, you know, we had potato farmers as friends, and you know, we did the despacho ceremonies. You know, we explored the archaeological sites, but there was something really missing. And so the question became, was, Miro, do you want to go back to the States and live? And it was an absolute no. He didn't. He was not in alignment. And we use those words in our communication. He was not in alignment with the consumer-based culture that he came from. He didn't want to do that. And then I said, well, why don't we bring kids to us? And so that was the birth of Project World School. And that really led me down a path to learn everything I could about the teen development. I went into psychology, neurobiology. I learned everything I could about conflict resolution. I learned about learning communities. And just after that conversation, about 6 months later, we opened up our door and we called it Project World School. And we invited our first group to Peru. And we have led since that was 11 years ago. Since that time, we have led over 200 teens in different places in the world, from Greece, Peru, South Africa, Japan, Thailand. I just got back from Thailand 19 days ago, actually, leading a group of teens. We've done trips all over the world, and most of them are month-long trips, with the exception of our, quote, intro trips, which are only 9 days. So that really helped me to find that I lit up when I'm in the presence of teens, and I lit up every time I helped a teen step outside of their comfort zone and held space for them and gave them a giant hug and really heard what they were processing during these trips. It healed a little bit of my inner adolescent, which was so incredibly wounded. And that really helped me to integrate all the years of self-healing that I did on myself and the tool sets. Again, remember, I'm, you know, ODD, and also, like, you can't tell me what to do, I'm going to do this myself kind of attitude. The tools were vital for me to be able to process and understand and even reprogram many of the belief systems I had about myself. And when I was in the presence of these brilliant young people who were faced with being away from their family by choice, of course, right? Away from being from their families and in community with other people, where collaboration and cooperation and communication were required, as well as being vulnerable and being able to take support and also give support to other teens. The tools that I learned were suddenly very relevant in this situation. And so our retreats, as I said early in my intro, are really about outer world explorations and using the inner world as, or using the outer world as a way to really understand the inner worlds. So when the 2020 world change, I don't even know what the hell you want to call it, but when that happened and the world was shut down, I was here in Mexico. And my community that I helped build of, 15,000 families that were out there traveling and exploring, and many that had come to our conferences. I had hosted 10 international conferences for world schoolers around the world. They looked at me and said, our teens are struggling, Lainey. What can we do? So immediately I started hosting these two free meetups every week, 2-hour meetups, one for each age group. And it was an online offering. And teens got together. We created safe spaces. We talked philosophy. We played games. They shared. And it was wonderful. And the crazy thing is, Derek, I'm still hosting them 3 years later, which is a whole nother thing. And it's my honor and joy to have these connections with these young people. But in the beginning of 2020, mental health became the forefront of the focus in our community. And you know, look at the teenage development, the adolescent development. Locking them down was like kryptonite to their soul. Teens need to start stepping into their independence, start socially connecting and trying on identities. They need to start letting the influence of their social networks be a greater part of their lives. And unfortunately, for many families listening to that, that sounds really, really difficult, you know, based on the state of the world today. And that's actually something I'm going to talk about at the Greater Reset. But this is the wiring, the brain wiring. This is evolutionary biology. They are wired to step out and practice adulting at this stage of their life. So when the world was shut down, mental health issues rised. So I know many families that lost their young people to suicide because of the despair. Teens that were, you know, getting ready to launch suddenly were squashed, and it was really, really difficult. So I decided within 3 or 4 months that I was going to take all the information that I learned. I was going to take all the tools and even gather up more tools and put together courses for teens, create communities, because I knew the value of learning in community and social learning. And I was going to offer these 12-week courses. So 3 months, we go through everything, you know, from understanding brain biology, their own brain biology, understanding the pattern of beliefs, understanding passions, purpose, and doing some shadow work with the teens, understanding what it means to step into independence, understanding the role of play. And all of this in a 2-hour weekly workshop where it was hands-on using play, improv, challenges, exercises, and then these powerful tools. And then they come back each week and reflect and share. And that became the most empowering work that I was sort of, you know, jolted into or guided by my higher self or by the world or who knows by what. But the work that I'm doing with teens in terms of mentoring has become the one thing in my life. Well, there are many things in my life, including my son, but the one thing in my life that really provides powerful, powerful purpose. And I also discovered also through the, you know, 11 years of hosting these teen retreats, I have a magical ability to connect with teens in a way to be the person that I wish I had when I was a teen growing up. And that understanding and connection has been so incredibly healing for myself and so incredibly healing for the teens that I work with. I can't even tell you, my community is made up of teenagers and how beautiful that is. I get to witness them as they move into their adulthood. I get to guide them and hold space for them. I get to hold up a mirror and let them see that them that they are judging, because self-judgment is a critical, it's part of the meme of culture today, which is so detrimental to the growth and birth of the adult that they're becoming. So yeah, that's what I do. And that's my work through transformative mentoring for teens.
It's so powerful, Lainey. I really do I'm so excited to have you at the Greater Reset. And I'm just so grateful that there are people like you in the world doing this important work. You know, I don't have nearly the experience or direct involvement that you do, but I feel very similarly in my role just as an uncle to my six nieces and nephews, and the power that I, you know, I see like to influence them and plant these positive seeds and little things that I hear from you and from others. And I do think that it's just so crucial. And like you said there, with there's so much healing that goes on for the adults that are involved in this, as well as obviously the teens. And it's really beautiful to see. And so, and yeah, and the kids themselves are such a vital resource for, you know, the future and for their own journeys, but they're also just as much as everyone else existing, you know, dealing with the same sort of societal, cultural attacks, not to mention, you know, just the various, you know, various social issues going on that I can't even imagine. You know, we had the luxury, at least between your generation, mine, and maybe those just a little bit younger than me, I just turned 39, who remember kind of having those developmental years before the pressure of social media and the internet, right? And I had some of it like towards the tail end. MySpace came in right when I was in high school, and you started to see some of it, but it was, I definitely remember before smartphones and before Facebook, et cetera. But for those who have grown up with that being just a part of your everyday culture, you know, there's definitely a lot more to sort of overcome, especially in terms of, you talked about the self-critical aspect of it. That's definitely something I struggled greatly with at a young age, just being overly critical and judgmental, and you know, it can be very destructive. So again, thank you for all the time and energy you put into this really important work. It's really just, I think it's so important. And I want to tell everybody again that the websites will be linked in the show notes. If you want to check out Lainey's book, it is called Seen, Heard, and Understood. And I highly recommend it for both parents and for those who are maybe younger and interested in these ideas, and maybe kind of coming from the angle of wanting to get your parents on board with some of these things. That might be something to check out. So, and of course, mention again that Lainey will be speaking at the Greater Reset. The website is thegreaterreset.org. You mentioned a little bit that you, what you're going to get into in your talk. You don't have to tell us the whole thing, but maybe share a little more of a preview of what you want to cover and what you plan to cover next month.
Yeah, well, I'm really interested in talking about the intersection between intergenerations. Again, as somebody who works with teens, I'm finding that there are a lot of cultural memes right now keeping us separate. And so I want to talk to parents, I want to talk to grandparents, and I also want to talk to young people that are not yet parents about how to cross connect. We're up against some really, really difficult topics. And some of the things that I'm going to say may surprise you. I'm just going to ask you to keep in mind, understand the wiring of our teens as they are meant to try on different identities. I mean, I know I became a punk rocker, you know, in my youth, and that was an identity that I tried on, and I shaved my head and I had a mohawk. But it's a lot more serious in our youth these days. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that. I'm also going to talk about how we can create connected families. And I think I'm going to leave the education portion off because I believe you've got other speakers really focusing in on educating outside of the system. So that you know, partnership parenting and dealing with or connecting with teens.
Awesome. I'm so excited to have you again. Everybody check out thegreaterreset.org. You can see Lainey's speaker page there and find some more of her links. I will include all the things we discussed today. Highly recommend checking out the book. Will you have the books in person in Mexico if anybody attends in person?
Yeah, I'm going to bring a few. I'll bring some and I'll sign them. But you can buy them from the devil, which is Amazon.com. So I apologize for that.
Well, we'll include the links. Lainey, again, really excited to have you on board. And hopefully we can get you, if you have the time and the space and the energy, to maybe do an in-person workshop where we can cover some of these things. And I know everybody has enjoyed your involvement in the past years and being able to give those parents and also the kids. I mean, we have more and more people coming with young kids, from teenagers to, you know, 10 and under. So I think this message and this work is just going to be so instrumental and so important for our community. Anything else you'd like to share with before we head out for today?
The crazy thing is on Amazon, you just brought up my Amazon page. I just looked at it for the first time in, you know, a month, because I told you I just got back from Thailand. It is still trending number one and number two in adolescent psychiatry, which is crazy because it's written by
That's
me,
amazing.
Non-doctor.
There you go. That's amazing. Congratulations. Well, definitely, guys, you got to find out why, you know, what's all the hype about. Check it out. The links will be in the show description. I really hope you enjoyed this conversation. As I've been trying to remind everyone lately, the reason I launched this podcast, The Activation, in 2021 is because I got sick of just doing weekly news broadcasts talking about the problems. Not to say we don't need to know what's going on in the world. Obviously, we do. But I wanted to really highlight people like Lainey and so many other folks that I've got to know over the years who are doing very empowering, solutions-focused content and work and really changing the world. And I hope that anyone who hears this might take this as an invitation to recognize that, yes, there are dark things going on in the world, but there are also so many positive things. There are so many tools available at our disposal, whether we're talking about as parents, as uncles, as influences, as mentors to the younger generation. And it's not all doom and gloom. There's a lot of good happening. We just have to tap into it. So hope you guys will tap in and join us in this. Lainey, thank you again for your time. And everyone, as always, remember, you are powerful, you are beautiful, and you are free. Peace.
You have been listening to the Activation Podcast, brought to you by the Conscious Resistance Network. You can find the archives of our show at Pinecast, Spotify, and theconsciousresistance.com. Thank you for listening.